Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Throughout the centuries, and it continues today, many Christians get distracted by the circumstances of the world. They see what's going on and they find it difficult to stand fast in the Lord. They wring their hands because sin seems to be gaining the upper hand. The sinful society seems to be having their way. Those things, even today, that the Bible declares to be sinful, whether it's fornication or drunkenness, homosexuality, adultery, lying, we look around the world and we look around our society, and it seems that these things are now honored and biblical morals are put down as being of the past. A lot of Christians are consumed with the idea that we're living at the end of things, that we're living in the last days. They call them the last days from the Bible, but in fact, the last days began when Jesus was born into this world. But still, even if you consider that maybe we're at the end of the last days, maybe we're marching towards that, and I'm not saying that that's not the case. It seems to me that we might be. But because of that, people get consumed by it. They get to the point where they can't think about other things. And there are so many places around the world in Christian circles where they're consumed by prophecy. They're talking about the Lord may return at any time, and I hope that He does. He may return at any time, and it may not be today, though. It may be that He'll return in our children's day, or our grandchildren's day, or even further after that. We may see Him, and I hope that we do see Him. But what do we do in the meantime? Do we let sin rule the day? Do we just wring our hands in frustration and consternation that all of these things are taking place? What do we do about it? Do we go and try and change society? Do we go and try and say these things are wrong and therefore we need to make laws that declare them to be wrong? Well, in Paul's day, especially as he's here in Philippi, in the book that we're looking at this morning, he certainly didn't take that tact, did he? He didn't say we need to reform Rome, even though if you looked at Rome in the day of Paul, when he's there in Rome in prison, it's probably worse than what we're facing today. They're actually throwing Christians to lions. They're actually killing Christians. And although there are places in the world where Christians are facing that, we in this country are not. So what do we do? Well, Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, gives them some information. And there at the end of in the chapter 4, he says, stand fast in the Lord. That's something that we as Christians today need to take hold of. We need to understand what it means to stand fast and live accordingly. We're going to look at this idea in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." So we think about this. Paul begins this chapter. He didn't have chapter breaks, but Paul begins this section when he says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So all of the things that Paul has written to this point, he says, because of those things, that's what the therefore is there for, because of those things, stand fast in the Lord. Well, what are those things? We're not going to preach the whole book of Philippians this morning, but you think about this. Paul doesn't want the Philippians to struggle because of where Paul is. Paul has known the Philippians for a long time. He had ministered to them in the first missionary journey, and they've been a constant support of his, to the point where when you reread the rest of this chapter, he actually states that you were the only church that was communicating with me. You were the only church that was supporting me. You were sending me money. You were sending me things to help me. So they've been around, and they've been working with Paul and praying for Paul for a long time. But now they find that Paul is in prison, and that could shake their faith. That's what he's talking about in chapter 1. He says, "But I've been in prison, and now the Lord has used it to what? To further the gospel. So that there's more people preaching than would have preached if I hadn't been in. And not only that, there are people hearing the gospel that wouldn't have heard it. Because I'm in prison. Because I'm in jail." So he doesn't want them to struggle in their faith because of that. He doesn't want them to struggle because they have differing mindsets. So you look at chapter 2 and you think about the theme of that, and Paul is telling them to be of one mind. To be of the mind of Christ, who didn't consider it robbery, who didn't consider his glory in heaven something to be grasped and held on to. No, he set his glory aside to become a man. Humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, and died on the cross. And he's saying that's the mindset that all of you Philippians have to have. There may be differing things going on in your lives, but you have to have the humility of Christ to serve, to put others before yourselves. And because of that, that will help you stand fast. Paul also doesn't want the Philippians to struggle because of the path that's before them. And you can see that in chapter 3, where he is getting closer to the end of his race. But he says, "I'm still striving. I'm still working. I'm still looking towards the goal that Christ has set before me. No matter what I've already accomplished, I'm still going forward." And he wants them to think the same thing. He wants them to realize that whatever spot you are in your life, you haven't reached the end if you're still here. You still follow after Christ. And if you can't follow, and if it's hard to see Christ, then you follow after those who are following after Christ. And that's what Paul tells the Philippians to do. So he wants them to stand fast in the Lord. And today, that sounds kind of like a platitude, doesn't it? Like, oh, stand fast in the Lord no matter what's happening. But see, Paul, we know he's an apostle and he's inspired, but sometimes we forget that Paul is a very practical individual. And so he tells us to stand fast. He tells the Philippians to stand fast. But he gives them practical steps to actually stand fast. To actually follow after the Lord and stand fast in the faith regardless of what's going on. Regardless of the circumstances they find the church leaders in. Regardless of the circumstances they find themselves in. Regardless of disagreements they have among themselves. Regardless of the fact that they feel just, boy, it's just been so long. And they want to see the culmination, whether it's through death or through the Lord's return. And so what we're going to think about this morning is this standing fast. Standing fast in the Lord. So first off, a proper standing in God is based upon your faith in Christ. And that's here in the text, although it's not as obvious as other things are. But you think about this. What does Paul call them? He calls them brethren. He says, "You're my brethren in the Lord. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. You're part of the family. We're walking together as children of God." You know, it's a fascinating idea that God has no grandchildren. So that someone who is 40 years older than me is my brother in Christ. Someone who is 30 years younger than me is my brother in Christ. Someone who's my child is my brother in Christ, if they're a Christian. If one of my parents were a Christian, they would be my brother or sister in Christ. They're brethren. That's the foundation of what he's telling them. You see this, that they have to be of the same mind in the Lord when he says to Syntyche and Euodias to be of the same mind in the Lord. Well, they're not going to be of the same mind in the Lord unless they're Christians. You can't stand fast on the scriptures without being a Christian. Otherwise, you'll see what we see in so many so-called churches today where they let things pass that are not biblical. They're not standing fast in the Lord because they don't have a relationship with the Lord. Because if they had a relationship with the Lord, they would stand fast on the things of the Lord. Not only do they need, does he say, be in the Lord of the same mind, he says to the minister, we don't know, I don't know exactly who the minister in the church in Philippi is at this point. It could be Epaphroditus. But he says to the minister, help those who have been co-laborers. Help those who have been ministering in the gospel, those whose names are written in the book of life. The book of life, you think about Revelation chapter 20, the books are opened. And there's another book, it's the book of life. And those whose names were not found written in the book of life were judged and cast into eternal damnation. Where the serpent is, where Satan is, and his all of his workers, those that were found written in the book of life did what? They entered into glory with their Lord. And that's what he's saying here to the church at Philippi. Before you can stand fast in any circumstance, struggling against the world, you have to be a Christian. You have to have a standing in the faith. If you do not have faith in the Son of God, then you have no standing before God. You know, when the scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, if you bow the knee now, then you have standing in God. But the scripture also tells us that in Psalm 1, that those that the wicked, they shall not stand in the judgment. What will they be doing? They'll be bowing the knee. And then they'll be cast into eternal damnation. There's no standing before God for them. If you're a Christian, you have a standing before God because you have bowed the knee. Because he has saved you. Because your sin has been taken away by the blood of Christ. John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the difference. So before you can attempt to stand fast in the Lord, before you can have any standing in God, you have to have the proper standing, which is based on faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You have to go to him for forgiveness. But if you are a Christian, if you have come to Christ, if you've bowed the knee, if you've come to him by faith, trusting in his work on the cross for your sins, then standing fast in the Lord is based on a couple of things that Paul tells us here. Number one, it's based on your thankfulness to God. What is your heart attitude toward the Lord? You see, you'll have a better standing in the Lord if you are thankful. And not just thankful for the things that you think are blessings. Not just thankful that everything worked out the way you hoped it would. Thankful for all things. See, he says to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says again because he said it in chapter 3. He's saying it again, and he's not anxious not to say the same thing twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. How can you rejoice in the Lord always? Remember the fact that you have been bought by the blood of the Son of God. Remember the fact that you've been forgiven. That ought to give a believer a thankful heart. A gratefulness that other people don't have. Because you've been given something that is in, its worth is unestimable. It can't be estimated. It can't be figured out. It's priceless. And you've been given it. You ought to rejoice. There ought to be thankfulness in your heart. He says to tell others about your standing in verse 6. Be careful, but for nothing. I'm sorry, in verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That moderation is the fact that you're different. You're not the same as other men. You're not the same as other women. You're not the same as other kids. You're not the same person that they are. You've got a thankfulness. You can rejoice regardless of the circumstances because of who your master is. And then he says to pray. To pray about all things. You know, you think about this in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, some people, they get confused when they hear that, and it seems like old English when they hear, be careful for nothing. What that means is, don't hold anything back. Don't think anything is too small. Don't think anything is too large for the Lord to care about it in your life. Don't think that there's anything that God will not work in your life because it's too small or minor. He knows the hairs of your head. And He cares to know the hairs of your head. What else doesn't He care about? Everything about you is of value to the Lord. Every circumstance in your life is of value to the Lord. So don't hold anything back. Don't think, you know what, my stubbed toe is a minor thing. Well, sure, it's a minor thing. But take it to the Lord anyway. That may be a silly example, but you get the idea. Everything is of value to God in the life of a believer. So be careful for nothing. Take it all to Him. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You know, you can tell when you hear someone praying. Sometimes you'll see it on TV. Sometimes we'll see during the Christmas season, we'll see some of these Anglican churches and their carols. And there's this person standing there and they're reading a prayer. And the words are beautiful. They're fantastic words. But there's no supplication there. There's just words. See, supplication is from the heart. Supplication has meaning from who you are to who God is. There's an earnestness to your prayer. You think about the book of James. What does James say? The earnest prayer of a faithful man accomplishes much, doesn't it? That's what Paul says to us. Everything by prayer and supplication. Not just saying some words, but from the heart. It's not a repetition. It's the heart that cries out to the Lord about those things, whether it's something small or something big. And then the hardest one. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving. You see, that's the one that people really struggle with. I'm not saying that I'm any better, but we struggle with that thankfulness for the circumstances that have driven us to prayer. Because it's not just thankfulness for God saving us, it's thankfulness for the very thing that has driven us to the throne of God. For the very trial, for the very tribulation that we're struggling with. It's thankfulness for that trial. Thankfulness for that tribulation. See, how can I thank God for this? Well, it's an evidence that God is working in your life. It's a reminder that He is the one at work, that He is the one that is going to work. It's a reminder of the promises that He has given to believers. You think about Romans 8. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Well, that's a promise, isn't it? That doesn't mean that it's a physical promise, that the circumstances that we hope will work out are going to work out. It's a promise of a spiritual blessing. So that through the trial, God is making you a more mature believer. God is causing you to grow closer and nearer to His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, you can be thankful. Because when you come to God with your struggle, when you come to God with your difficulty, you can rest upon the fact that you know that He's going to use that in your life to draw you closer to Him, to help you to understand Him better, to increase your faith. And you can say, Lord, I am so thankful for that. So that I can sit there and I can say, Lord, I really don't like the pain, but I'm thankful for it because it drives me to You. Lord, I really don't like how difficult this circumstance is, but I'm thankful for it because it helps me rely upon You who have the strength when I don't. So that thankfulness is key, because it's a reminder of who God is, of what He's promised to do in the life of a believer, that He has sealed you, that He is going to bring you to Himself. If He's going to do that, then He's going to use all circumstances, even the little stubbed toe, in your life for your blessing, for your benefit. It doesn't mean that your toe is never going to, it's definitely going to heal. People get sick. People die. People have handicaps. But God uses those things in the life of a believer. And so that idea, stand fast through prayer, through rejoicing, through bringing all things to Him, through the way that we speak about Him, through being thankful for those difficulties that drive us. What is the result of that? It's not a result of, oh, all things are going to work out the way I want them to. Oh, God's going to take away my pain. No, what is He going to do? He's going to give you peace. That's how you stand fast. It's because you have peace. That's how the three Hebrew young men could stand fast in the face of Nebuchadnezzar when he says, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace unless you bow and worship my idol. They stood fast. How? Because they had the peace of God in their hearts. Because they understood that, you know what, the Lord may save us out of this situation. He may not. But regardless, we're going to praise Him because we know that whether we die or whether He brings us through, we're going to be closer to Him. And they stood fast on the Lord. Why? Because they had peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Think about this. A peace that passes all understanding. You can't even understand it. Why in the face of these awful circumstances? Why in the face of such a long struggle against somebody or something? Can I have peace about it? You know, we know a man who has Parkinson's disease. And he struggles with it. And it has changed his life drastically. So that he can't minister in the way that he used to minister. And people say, well, how do you do that? How do you still minister? How do you still serve the Lord? He says, this is what the Lord has given me. If He wants me to have it, then I've got it. I can't complain about it. I'll do my best through it. He has the peace of God in his heart. Because he understands something, that God has given it to him, that God has blessed him with it. We don't think that way very often, do we? That God has blessed us with the difficulty to give Him glory, to give Him honor. He'll keep your heart. He'll give peace in your heart. He'll give peace in your mind through His Son, Jesus Christ. So that the more you're focused upon Christ, the more peace you have. The more thankfulness you have in your heart towards Him, the more peace you have. That's how you stand fast in the face of overwhelming odds. You think about it. Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on because it's not just about our prayers. It's also about our thoughts. Because what can so often lead us into danger? It's our thoughts. Random thoughts come in our mind and we try and shove the bad ones out, don't we? So how do we keep shoving the bad ones out and only keep the good ones? Well, Paul tells us that, and that's part of standing fast. It's working on our thought lives. It's working on our thought lives to keep them focused upon the Savior. So you think about this. What does he say in verse 8? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. These ought to be the things that your mind is focused upon, not your circumstance, not your neighbor or coworker or boss who's causing you trouble. Think on these things. So let's think about this for a moment. What or who is the ultimate example of this list that Paul gives us? So you think about it. Whatsoever things are true. Who or what is the ultimate example of truth? Well, it's God, isn't it? And His Word. His Word is truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is Christ. It is God. That's who is true. Whatsoever things are true, what can I rely on that is truth in this life? It's God and His Word. That's all I've got. I don't know the heart of anybody else, and I can trust that somebody is telling me the truth, but I'm taking that on trust. But I can know that God's Word is true, and I can know that God is true. Whatsoever things are honest, I strive to be an honest individual so that people can believe my word. But I know when it comes to honesty, where do I look first? I look to God. I look to His Word. And we can go through every single one of these. Whatsoever things are true, that's God. Whatsoever things are honest, that's God and His Word. Whatsoever things are just, there's no one just like God. Whatsoever things are pure, there's no one holy like God is there? Whatsoever things are lovely, who's more beautiful than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Whatsoever things are of good report, that's the gospel, that's the good news. What other good report is there to tell someone? And Paul is telling us, think on these things. Don't think about the difficulties. Don't think about the circumstances. Don't think about how hard it is in your life. Think about God. Think about what He's done for you. Think about His truth. Think about His honesty. Think about His Word. Think about His justice, His purity, His holiness, His loveliness. Think on these things. He says, if there be any virtue. Is there any virtue? Well, yes, of course there is. It's a rhetorical question. Of course there's virtue. Is there anything worthy of praise? Well, of course there is. That's God again, isn't it? You see the theme that he's getting at. You bring all of your requests unto God with thanksgiving that he's working in your life, and then you take your mind off of those things and you place them upon God. Place them upon his attributes. Place them upon the things that he's done in his word and in your life. Refocus your thinking so that you're no longer thinking about how awful the society that we live in is. But instead, you've got a joy in your heart that comes from knowing God, from seeing God. Because there are praiseworthy things. Think on all of those things. If you want to stand fast in the face of circumstances, in the face of society, then think upon God. Think upon who He is. The one that loved you. And gave himself for you. You know, it's an interesting thing. The world struggles, and Christians often struggle, with how can God be merciful and gracious and loving, and yet all these bad things happen? Right? They don't think about Job. You see, here's Job, and they don't learn the lesson of Job, because Job has all these difficult circumstances happen in his life. He's got all these horrible things. His children die. All of his goods are taken, stolen away. His body is racked with pain and with sores. His wife says, curse God and die. His friends show up, and they should support him, but then they say, Job, this is only your fault. There must be some sin in your life that has caused all these bad things to happen to you. And Job struggles, doesn't he? He struggles with these things just like anybody would. And then finally, God comes. God shows up and he questions Job. He doesn't ever give Job an answer to any of the questions that were in Job's mind about Job's circumstances. He doesn't say, Job, I took your children away for this. Job, I took your livestock away from this. Job, I took your house because of this. Job, I let the sores come on your body because of this. God doesn't give him any of those things. God reveals himself to Job. He says, look at my power. Where were you when I did all of these things? You know nothing about what you're talking about, Job. And how does Job respond? Listen to what he says. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and thou and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. God gave Job a clear vision of who God was. And Job said, everything else falls away, Lord. I'm sorry for what I've said. I'm sorry for what I've thought. Help me to focus upon you. That was God's answer to Job. That's what Paul is saying in Philippians. He's saying the same thing. Your circumstances are difficult. Your sibling is treating you poorly. Don't focus on that. Focus on God. Focus on who He is. As it was for Job, so it is for us. Take your focus off the difficulties. Take them to God. Pray to the Lord about those difficulties. Be careful for nothing. Everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let it be known unto God. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. How? Because now change your thinking. Change your thinking into focusing upon the one who saved you, gave himself for you, the one who's true, who's honest, who's pure, who's lovely, of good report. But see, that's not the end of it, is it? You see, a proper standing, to be able to stand fast in the Lord, doesn't end there. Because Paul tells us one more thing. Verse 9. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You see, it's not only rejoicing in the Lord, bringing your needs, your difficulties, everything to the Lord with a thankful heart and a thankful attitude and changing your thinking. It's then action. It's do. You know, Paul says it in an interesting way. The things you have learned, the things you have received, the things you have seen, the things you have heard, the things you have seen me do. Now you do them. You see, first you have to learn something, don't you? And when you learn something, then you receive it. Then you say, yes, I believe this. And as soon as you believe it, you start to really hear it. Because you probably didn't hear it before. And when you've heard it, then all of a sudden you start seeing people do it. And Paul says, those very things, all the things you've learned them abstractly, you've seen them in God's Word, but now you have received them. You believe what God says. And now that you believe what God says, you hear His voice constantly reminding you of those things, and you see other people doing them. Now you do them. Don't just sit back and say, woe is me. Get up and start to work. Not work for your salvation, work for the Lord, who you're focused upon in your thoughts and in your prayers. That's how you stand fast. That's how you stand fast. It's not an obscure situation. Paul says, first you have to know the Lord. And when you know the Lord, then circumstances change. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice and be thankful for all that He's done in your life. And when the difficulties come, bring them before the Lord, no matter how big, no matter how small. And do it with a thankful heart, knowing that God is going to work in your life. Because He already has. He's promised to do it. And when He works in your life, you're thankful because you know it's working for your good. Not that you're going to get more money, Not that you're going to have a nicer house. Not that your sore is going to go away. Your pain's going to stop. No, it's that you're drawing closer and nearer to Him. And when He does give you peace, you focus upon Him. Focus your thoughts upon the truth of God, the honesty of God, the loveliness, the purity, the justice, the gospel. And then all of those things that you're learning and you're receiving and you're hearing and you're seeing, get up and be active. Get up and serve the Lord. That's how you stand fast. That's a proper standing before the Lord. This passage of Scripture has been one that has changed my life. Where I struggled with some things that had happened to me, and I couldn't get them out of my mind. Thankfully, someone taught me this passage. And it changed who I was. I was already a Christian, but it changed who I was because I realized that God doesn't want me focusing upon my difficulties. God doesn't want me focusing on what's happened to me. He wants me focusing on Him. So bring these things, bring the difficulties to God. And the only way to leave them there is then to look at God, to look at who He is. I don't say that to brag about me or brag about this. It's about God and what He does in the life of a believer. What this passage of Scripture teaches us to do in our lives. It's an amazing transformation, an amazing promise, an amazing prescription for life, for the life of a Christian. Study it. Know it. Apply it in your life. Follow after God. And if you are having trouble seeing God, then follow after those who are following after God. We point you to Jesus Christ. Amen.